And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjure Man Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bringing us today's topic on graveyard protection. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Ms. Kat and Conjure Man Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Nice to hear your voice. Well, things here are just hopping as can be. And I have to say, it's very fun. As soon as we announce that the show is live in Facebook, the people start pouring into the chat room. And I love the way that works. So if you're a listener or a fan of this show, do take a moment to say that in Facebook, hey, this show is live now. And there's no experience like being in the chat room. I mean, I know people, they all listen whenever they can, and that's good too. But and people listen for years and years, and some of these shows have had many, many thousands of hearings. But there's nothing quite like being in the chat room. And as you all know who are listening now and don't know, but now you will know, the chat room logs are archived at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And that means that you can actually read the chat log and listen to the show. There's a link in the forum for each show's date. You can listen to it, and you can read the chat and see what we were having so much fun about, and you were not having the fun because you were not there. Well, anyway, we hope you join us someday, whoever you are, whenever you hear this, okay? And the way to find out how to get to the chat room is just basically follow LuckyMojo.com on Facebook, follow Papa Newt on Facebook, follow whoever the guest is on Facebook, and also the Lucky Mojo Radio Network has a Facebook page, and I have a Facebook page, and on the day of the show, we always post notices of that the show is happening, and then in a few of the places, we also post, you know, hey, it's live, it's happening, and then we expect the users here in the chat room to jump, and they're jumping. I mean, I'm just watching the numbers go up as people are reading this on Facebook. So welcome all to the chat, and thank you, Troll Tellhead, our lovely Nagashiva. He put something in the chat, made me laugh. It's kind of like being there. That's right. It's kind of like being there, listening to it later, listening to it now, the flexibility of time. All right. Okay. So that's what's happening here. I've been barely out in the world because I've been locked in database land. I've been working on the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church database and bringing it up to date, making sure that all invoices are closed. It's a big project. There's tens of thousands of individual invoices and individual client records, and I'm just cleaning it and until it is just a smooth, well-oiled machine. But it's been taking me days. And I have to thank Nagashiva. He has been working on doing the same thing with the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church budget, which has its own little Excel spreadsheet world that it lives in, and pulls things from different other databases and put them all together until they just scream for mercy. And he's very good at doing that. So we've been working hard indoors with that. The world of trains in the outdoor world, I want to give a shout out to Jenna. She's been working hard on trains as fall approaches. Now, what does fall mean? We all think fall is a synonym for autumn. Why in Europe is it called autumn, and why is it called fall in America? Fall in America because we have a climate where they all fall at once. All the leaves just fall, right? In Great Britain, it's autumn. They slowly turn. They drift. The wind carries a few leaves spinning down to the ground. In America, they fall. And it just has to do with our climate, and boy, they are falling now. Well, when all those leaves fall off, all of those beautiful trees on the Lucky Mojo landscape, they fall right on the train tracks. And when a leaf falls on the train tracks, it stops the train. And so poor Miss Jenna has been running, who wears the engineer's cap, has been running in and out and in and out. Usually she checks the trains once an hour, but it's, you know, kind of like every 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Another one came down because we have our train tracks under a giant redwood. And when a redwood drops its leaves, those are little compound leaves on a twig. And it just so happens that a redwood twig leaf is exactly long enough to stretch from track to track and lay there right across the tracks. It doesn't fall inside, and it's just stiff enough that when the train wheels hit it, the train stops. If it was a maple leaf, the train would kind of push it aside. If it was an aspen leaf, it wouldn't even fill the space. But nah, it's the. So I was told when I started this project, you don't want this under a redwood, but I did. And I've met many, many other people who put their trains under redwoods, and they go, we know, it's under a redwood, it's life, and that's what we got. So that's things at Lucky Mojo. Now, and Madam Samantha, thank you so much for saying September 26th is the fall equinox, autumnal equinox. That would be presumably the midpoint of when all these leaves come down. When we hope. Because, you know, a redwood, it lives by creating what's called duff, redwood duff. That's a buildup of these dead leaves. It makes a kind of a composted, very fluffy, duffy thing underneath every redwood tree. It would like the train tracks to be buried. It really would. It would like to create duff. But it can't. We keep on picking them off. All right. I'm going to bring in Conjurman Holly. How are you doing today, my partner in crime?
Hello, Kat. I'm doing lovely. I've just been cleaning up some books. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. But unfortunately, I do it every so often because I take books off shelves and I leave them in piles everywhere because I read multiple books at once. And then I'm like, all right, I have to clean these, sort these, put these back. But it never actually goes back because as I clean them, I flip through and I'm like, oh, this is still interesting. Let me set this aside. It's a bit of a self-defeating task. But it is my favorite part of cleanup is dealing with the books. So I've been doing that for the past couple of days and have gotten absolutely nowhere.
I know exactly what you mean, reshelving books, and then the next thing you know, 3 hours later, you're on the floor in a pile of books,
yep.
Right?
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same trouble that I have. And that's sort of fall, too. You know, books are made out of tree leaves.
That's very true.
And wood pulp. It's kind of like, you know, maybe the books are falling off the shelf. Maybe it's just fall all the way around.
Yeah, it's fall in my, it's definitely fall in my home right now.
All righty. Well, let's bring in our guest. And today, our guest, as announced, is Miss Susan Barnes. And she is a wonderful woman and a wonderful root worker from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, she has been a guest on this show many times. But if in some future dimension you are listening to this and don't know who she is, I got to give you a little bit of an update on her. Susan is a member of AIR. And you can find her there, and you'll read her biography. And she has done many things in her life, and I would consider Susan to be one of the most go-to people if you want to live an ethical life and want the root work you do to be done with compassion, decency, and diligence. There are people who will play fast and loose and people who will take any case, but not Susan. She is a person who really works on cases that are for the good. And I consider Susan one of the several, and there are many, in AIR who have what I call the good heart, what Miss Michael calls the heart of gold. And Susan is a person who knows her work really, really well. And she's also a member of the AIR tech team. She helps us get things together. Every Tuesday, the AIR group gets together, and some of us work on our AIR website. And so if you look at the AIR website, some of the cleanup of it and some of the writing and some of the stuff in there, that's Susan's work too. And so she's a volunteer. And we love her a lot. She's come out here to California a number of times and just has made such an impression on us. Her and her husband, just wonderful people. And Susan is known at the Lucky Mojo Shop as the lady who sends those amazing packages. Susan, every once in a while, when we've been very good little children, we get amazing packages from Susan with all manner of treats, and they're always beautiful packages, and they're beautifully boxed and wrapped, and sometimes we get flowers, and we don't take that for granted, Susan. We really are in awe of your social graces and generosity, because you're very kind to the people at Lucky Mojo, and we all sit around there waiting for the little treats to drop down.
Thank you so much, welcome
to the show. Now, tell us what's been going on in your world.
Oh, well, I'm blushing from all the nice things you said. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And it's interesting you mentioned a gold heart, because I have a new assistant, and his name is Jerry Gold.
Oh, really?
So Jerry will be helping me today, hopefully. We're training him.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been very busy, as you know, doing a lot of work. I believe Conjurman Ali mentioned what he was doing last week, and I'm doing similar work, you know, breaking things off of people and people who just sort of get into messes and they can't seem to find their way out. So there's a lot of cleansing that you have to do, just like Conjurman Ali spoke of last week, and I thought that was a brilliant talk last week. Very helpful. What we've been going through in Oklahoma are earthquakes, very serious earthquakes. Every day we have an earthquake. The last one that hit, well, there's been others, but the biggest one was a 5.8.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I knew that this was a big one because I felt it. I was with the dog, and we were together, and it was going on and on and on. So I thought, what can I do about it? So I'm going to make a documentary film about it because I have a suspicion of what's going on. I also sent Carrier Pigeon to Professor Charles Porterfield, and hopefully his people at the Now You Know show can get on it, Wink Winkerson and Bill Patchy Fogg, to get away from those sheep and to come over here to Oklahoma and help us solve our earthquake problem. It's quite serious, much more serious than people think it is. So I'm also taking on, I'm doing a lot of work on healing the earth. And I believe Conjurman Ali does a similar type of work also. And earth spirits to come back to Oklahoma and protect us, you know. But we can't continue to destroy the land like we're doing, like people are doing. But there are people fighting for it, like you are, I am. And a lot of people are trying to.
I hear you, and I put in the chat room here, I'm calling them the fracking earthquakes, and I'm just going to go on a limb and call them fracking.
Thank you, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes.
That's it. Okay, we just said it. It's fracking, and Oklahoma has never had earthquakes like this. And not only that, the buildings aren't really built to withstand earthquakes. They don't, you know, they weren't built in expectation of earthquakes. They never had something like the San Francisco 1906 earthquake,
yep.
knocked everything down, and then we built new to new standards. So,
mm-hmm.
And I feel it. When I heard that about the earthquakes in Oklahoma, I just shook my head and I thought, we're killing the Mother Earth. We really are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yeah. Well, now, I will love to join you, and I would love others to join you, too, in social justice work and in earth healing
mm-hmm.
work. And all of you who do set lights for charity, set lights pro bono, set lights for the help of others, see if you can keep Oklahoma and the earth in your thoughts and light a small candle for that. That's the least we can do. If you don't light candles,
mm-hmm.
just say a prayer. If you pour libations on the earth, pour a libation and say, this is for the healing of the earth. If you use incense, just smudge a little incense around. This is for the healing of the earth. Keep that in your prayers and go to the Crystal Silence League and pray for it, too, because
mm-hmm.
we need help. We really do need help.
Mm-hmm.
This is not getting
Thank
any
you,
better.
Thank you, Ms. Kat.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have brought us a great topic, and the topic you brought us is protection in the graveyard, and graveyard protection has different meanings to different people. So as usual, I'm going to give a little intro here on what I know before I turn it over to you. As I have studied in, you know, anthropology courses and ethnography and sociology, different people have different attitudes toward the dead. Different cultures do, and within those cultures, of course, there's a bell curve of variation. Based on personal experiences, personal inclinations, emotional feelings. But there also are cultural differences that are very great and can be mapped and tracked through generations. So some cultures have a very spiritually positive connection with the beloved dead and may make exceptions for the dead who, quote, died bad or were bad people when alive, but they don't have a general fear of the dead. There are other cultures in which all the dead, including the people who were loved while alive, have become somewhat terrifying, and there is a fear of spirits of the dead. And you can trace on a map the rise of spiritualism, which is a religion that includes contact with the dead, through different parts of the world where the dead are perceived to be potentially friendly. Spiritualism as a religion thrives. And in places where the dead are perceived to be horrifying, haunting demons, spiritualism does not thrive as much. Or, if it does, it thrives among people who are outliers to their own culture, the crazy hippie edge of their own culture. And so it's a little scale, like a thermometer. It just goes from fear of the dead to love and contact with the dead. Now, that leads us to graveyards, because graveyard culture has changed as the world has urbanized. It used to be you buried grandpa on the farm, you know. Well, then there became a little town graveyard. Now, that was in America. Of course, in Europe, the graveyards, like in Sweden, there the church is in the middle of the graveyard. When you walk to church, you're walking through. It's right there. The graveyard is right in the center of the the church is right in the center of the graveyard. But in America, we did a little different, more English style. We have the graveyard on one side of the church. Well, as people became more and more urbanized, the churches ran out of space, and then these giant cemetery associations began to form, and then you could pre-buy your grave, and it wouldn't be necessarily in a church, or churches would own these plots of land. Well, then they got filled up, and so then we went to crematoriums and stuff to kind of compress all those bodies. So we're in the middle of a culture that doesn't yet have a settled one-way style of dealing with the dead. And hoodoo, which is very traditional African-American root work, comes out of the small churchyard in the town type way of working and thinking, with an African basis, which is that contact with the dead, and especially with beloved ancestors, is valuable, and it is good. Now, there may be bad people, but you know who they are because you lived in a small village with them or a small town. And they may have a use to you, too, if you're working in the grave. But as it is, the culture clash between people who fear the the dead or feel that it's disrespectful to walk in a graveyard or whatever they, you know, this is, like I said, it's not just an on-off switch. There's like spaces in between. And one of the most common spaces in between is the idea of, I don't fear the dead and I don't like them, but it's disrespectful to work with them. They're having their peaceful sleep. Well, that's one culture's way of looking at it. So all of these different things within hoodoo and within folk magic generally are up for grabs. And so you will find on the Lucky Mojo forum, people say, never go to the graveyard without cleansing yourself afterwards. And there will be people who say, what kind of BS is that? I go to the graveyard all the time and I talk to my granny, right? So it's all going to vary. But there are issues about protection from wandering spirits, trickster spirits, the unsettled dead, even the people who recognize the beloved dead know that there are, the bad dead are buried with them too in a small town. Where else are they going to be buried, right? So, and of course, in the old Catholic days, you cannot be buried in a Catholic cemetery. Well, that was that they were so bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays they don't do. They just put them in the municipal cemetery, which is secular. So, having said all of that, let me turn this over to you, Susan. I'd love to hear your information about this topic because it's a very vital topic to many people.
Mm-hmm. This is a great topic, Ms. Kat, and I've been going to the graveyard with my grandfather since I was a child, so I've never had a fear of it. As I've progressed or become more educated, and now I get graveyard dirt used. So I've learned that I do need protection. I've seen things mm-hmm. out there that I bring home. So the things before I go to a graveyard, it's things to know before you go. And I always know graveyard. I used to just go willy-nilly wherever.
We're having some problem with your sound. Could you say that again?
Yes. I go to a graveyard that I've chosen, that I pick out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me? And,
yes.
And, okay. The other thing is it's just something I've noticed. People wear flip-flops in a graveyard, and I'm thinking, please don't wear flip-flops. Wear sturdy shoes. This is simple information because, you know what, there are holes in graveyards. There's trees and branches, and you can trip and fall and break an ankle in a graveyard and or get pushed by a spirit in a graveyard. And people don't think about these things. So let's wear some sturdy shoes. Go preferably during the day. I usually like to bring someone with me. Sometimes I don't. Nighttime, you know, whatever. You can go in the night if you're doing a special spell or something, but I prefer to go in the day. I can see better, and you can still see ghosts during the day anyway. Be sure whose grave you want to visit. Is it a loved one, a soldier, a child? And I've recently been working with athletes, so I've been going to athletes' graves. When you want to go, and this is another simple thing, bring flowers so you don't look suspicious to the caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much vandalism going on these days. They have, you know, web cameras and video cameras and caretakers watching your every move. So I suggest just bring some flowers, and they're not going to know what you're if you're getting dirt or not. Bring your offerings. Coins are always a good thing. When I bring coins, I usually put blessing oil on them so I can bless any grave I'm around. Food the person liked, whiskey if they drank, sports item, toys, whatever. Now, for protection, what to wear during a graveyard outing, a necklace or a pendant for protection, whatever your religion or your belief system is. I just do it all. I do a cross, a Star of David, and I have my evil eye protection, so I pretty much do it all. You can wear a pendant dressed with protection oil. Now, I use St. Michael oil. I have used fiery wall of protection oil when I'm working with a cantankerous spirit. You can also use another favorite is dragon's oil blood, and you can just touch it on your pendant, and it works fantastic. My shoes, I will sometimes put fear not to walk over evil on them.
Mm.
Or, you know, on the side of your shoe even. People forget about that. You can use Master Key products if you're really into the, you want mastery over the occult and you want to have the spirit speak to you. Because sometimes we can put on too much protection and the spirits we want to speak to won't speak to us because we're too protected, if that makes any sense. So
mm-hmm.
I will have Master oil on me, Master Key oil.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I love bracelets. I think most people do. Some
mm-hmm.
people don't, but I always wear bracelets. I wear
me
them.
Too.
I have a
mm-hmm.
yeah. I have a bracelet made out of mercury silver dimes that someone made for me, and I'm constantly dabbing that thing with fiery wall of protection. And I know it's got a little bite to it, but it's just something I use. You can wear an evil eye bracelet, a hamsa hand. You can dress and bless your bracelet with protection oil. I also pray over my jewelry before I go. I wear a mercury silver dime around my ankle. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
I don't, sometimes I do. And it's usually blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a protection mojo.
Mm-hmm.
I usually put it in my bra or I'll pin it to my underwear or my pants. Or you can make a mojo or buy one. Buy one from the Lucky Mojo. They make great. Where if you're just, you don't know what you're doing, you need a mojo right now. You know, of course, we all know, get a red flannel bag, put in your petition. You fold it four times toward you. You know, you put one of your hairs in it. You add some I love basil. Add basil, a bay leaf, some dragon's blood. You smoke it with protection incense. Or you can do a five spotting with guardian angel oil if you like guardian angels.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I like the Archangel Metatron is one of my favorites. He's very protective.
Mm-hmm.
I always wear a hat or a head covering. I do this to protect from any kind of negative entity that's trying to attach itself through my head or trying to put the negative thought forms into my mind.
That's
will do that.
I just got to break in on that. You just said a mouthful there, honey. That is truth. That is truth.
Yes.
Do not go. I mean, I don't fear the dead, but you do hear a lot of voices. And if you dress your hair or put, and I prefer a headscarf. I always wear a headscarf when I'm around a lot of people. Dress your headscarf, breathe onto it, breathe a prayer onto it, nothing else. Just don't let their voices get in my head. It's really true. And
yeah.
A hat will work the same way. Dress the hat band. If you have one of those hats that has a hat band with a little concho or something, just dress a little concho.
Mm-hmm.
That is truth.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I know this happened to me a couple of years ago, and I was just graveyard jumping, going from graveyard to graveyard, and I saw a railroad track, which I'm always attracted to railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I went over the railroad track. There was a snake skeleton in the center of the track.
Mm.
So I thought, oh, that's really cool. And I hopped the track, and there was an old graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
This was back in the day when I didn't protect myself. Came back.
Mm-hmm.
I got the snake skeleton because I thought, wow, this is really cool. And for weeks, I had negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I later found out I just had to wash my hair, do head washings, blessings,
mm-hmm.
and I finally went out, and I figured out what was going on. So now, if you see me in a graveyard, I've got a head covering or a hat,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't happen anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
again, you know, bring your coins, pay the spirits. Sometimes if it's a random tombstone, I will just give a blessing coin and put it on the tombstone and say a very small or short, brief blessing, like, bless you, you're at peace, you are loved, and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to bless people in the graveyard and spirits. You know, these certain graves will call out to you. We all know that. So
mm-hmm.
bless them silently, acknowledge them, whatever your religion, dear God or dear whoever you believe in, please bless and say the name on the tombstone. Thank you for giving him peace or her peace. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I got to say something about.
I
got to break in again because you mentioned again something that's cultural that's interestingly different among different cultures. Very much in the African American tradition, coins are used, and that is very traditional to put a coin on the headstone or tombstone, or to bury it. If you know, if you're going to be actually taking dirt, you would bury the coins because they're a more direct payment. Among Jewish people, it is more common to use a pebble than a coin. And if you go to Jewish cemeteries, if you are not Jewish and wish to go to a Jewish cemetery for whatever reason, maybe somebody that you admire and you want to get their dirt to work with was Jewish and they were buried in a Jewish cemetery, when you walk in, you may find, depending on the condition of the cemetery caretaking at that place, you may find something that looks like a birdbath or a baptismal font, if it might be on the wall or maybe in the middle of the path, like a birdbath, and it will have little small stones on it, in it, and they'll usually be just little tumble polished white pebbles, but they could be other, they could be natural river rocks or whatever. Those are there for the convenience of Jewish visitors, because it is the custom among Jews, such as myself, that when you visit a grave, you leave a pebble. And the place that most non-Jews, most people who just don't understand this, have seen this was in the very well-known movie Schindler's List. At the end, you see a lot of people walking around Mr. Schindler's grave, and they're putting pebbles. And I thought, oh, how nice, you know, this is whatever. And I was seeing that movie with somebody who was not Jewish, and come out the movie, and he goes, why were they throwing rocks on his grave? And I said, what? What? They weren't throwing rocks. But that's how that white person, actually, believe it or not, from Oklahoma, perceived it. And I realized that the person who had made the film, Steven Spielberg, was Jewish, and he didn't think, oh, we've got to explain this. It just was, so to an outsider, it looked like they were throwing rocks on the grave. But in any case, if you do go to a Jewish grave, it is if you're going to pay with coins, that's great. And if you're going to pay with whatever, that's great. But do take a pebble and put it on. And you can take a whole handful of pebbles and you can put them on everybody's grave that you visited. That's just the Jewish custom.
Well, you know, thank you for telling me.
The experience that I've had with this particular tradition is with in hoodoo, and we have to emphasize this. I think you did a great job in the beginning discussing the kind of different attitudes, if you will, towards the dead and the cemetery. My experience has been that there are regional variations in regards to how the coins are dealt with, right? So certain areas, Virginia and North Carolina, for example, I had the experience where they talk about a keeper of the graveyard, right? So, like, you also take, you don't just take three coins for the spirit that you want to work with, that you're going to gather a bit of graveyard dirt. You're paying that spirit for that graveyard dirt. You also take three coins to give to the keeper of the graveyard, which is either at the gate, or sometimes someone tells me it's the oldest, it's actually the oldest grave in the cemetery. They were buried there first. They watch everyone else. They make sure who comes and who goes. Other places that I went never mentioned the keeper of the grave, right? And they're like, we don't know what that is. You just walk in, you go to the spirit that you want to work with. But in, for example, Virginia and in North Carolina, the idea was that if you don't pay the keeper, you don't have his permission to actually work. So that's an element of protection for that particular region. And it kind of, you know, to this day, I give to the spirit of the keeper. But I know plenty of people who've never even heard of that. They go, yeah, we don't do that. I don't know what that is. You walk in, you go straight to the spirit. And that just goes to speak to the different regional variations that you'll find in this type of graveyard work, and what one person sees as protection, the other person doesn't necessarily see that way.
Right, and as often happens when discussing culture, those who have a belief feel that those who do not have it are wrong. In other words, having a positive belief makes you right and them wrong. Same as with the horseshoe. The horseshoe must be up. If you don't care, you're wrong, right? So, yes, the people who do believe in a graveyard keeper will attempt to force that on other people. And and by telling them, you're wrong. You did this wrong. You didn't pay the graveyard keeper. Very rarely would somebody say, you did that wrong. You're wasting your money on a graveyard keeper. There is no such thing. You know what I mean? It's just human nature. And so those of us who – this explains, by the way, why beliefs multiply. because, oh, I just learned that I was wrong. Now I got another belief I have to add to my burden of belief.
Mm-hmm.
But Nagashiva calls this sociological myopia and the rule-making advantage. It is indeed the rule-making advantage. But that doesn't mean you have to believe that they are right. You can just
say,
didn't do that in my family. Thank you.
Yeah, it's how you were raised, ultimately.
Well, when I leave the graveyard, I say a graveyard blessing for the entire graveyard. And I always put 15 cents at the gate. So I guess, Conjurman Ali, it was something in me, and I didn't really realize what I was doing. But I guess I'm paying the keeper, and I didn't even know I was doing that.
Well, no,
but
I leave
the money there.
That's so interesting because that's a different impulse. There's two impulses here. One is I cannot enter without the permission of the graveyard keeper. The second is part of this, sort of 1A, I cannot leave an offer. I cannot go to a grave until I seek out the oldest grave and ask permission there. That's kind of the seniority thing. So it's either the gate or the oldest, right? Then there's the, I don't care about that part. I'm just going and I'm leaving. I'm coming in. I'm going. And then there's what you just described, which is I'm going in, I'm doing my work, and as I leave, I then leave a blessing or offering. So those are different styles, very different styles, and yet every one of them is valid. There is no stronger way. There is no better way. There is no more traditional way. There is no more right way. Every one of those comes from whatever you learned. Okay?
I think the most common one that I saw amongst the kind of threads of the various graveyard traditions, at least in my experience, was take a different route home. And sometimes it was described as a protective thing, and sometimes as if so no one else can follow you. And sometimes it was just described as just that's what you do, right? It wasn't necessarily protective, but it was the common thread and how it was explained varied from region to region. The thread was take a different route home. How they would explain why you did it, though, would vary. Some people, that's to make sure that, no spirit follows you home and no one haunts you. The other would be that's just what we do. We take a different route home. That's how my family's always done it. So that's
right.
I
was told this very often, take a different route home. And when I asked why, there were different answers. Sometimes it would just because, and one person said to me, and this was an interesting thing. It had nothing to do with fear of the dead. He said, well, some of the people died recently and the disease is still in the air. And so he was actually speaking of a medical miasma that might infect me with, say, smallpox or the bubonic plague or something. And taking a different way home would also solve that problem. The idea that you must cross over water is often used to cut off spirit contact. All right, well, we're out of time, folks, and that was great. And we're going to do some readings now. Let's turn it over to Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Susan Barnes, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home Contra remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by dialing the telephone at 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. First of all, man from Pennsylvania in area code 267. This is Tahira. Tahira, are you there?
I'm here, but you sound a little choppy with the feed.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I will try to get that fixed. and you're a return caller calling in from the show from March 2016, and you're calling to give an update. Is that correct?
A little bit of an update, but I kind of have a new question.
Okay, and things have kind of changed, kind of didn't, it looks like. And she writes, let's see, After Professor Porterfield read last time, I called in of what in of what said came true, however, not in the way he explained they would. I want to know the upcoming future holds for me in my romance and social life as long, and I'm no longer attending school as until I relocate. Turning back to you, Ms. Kat.
Okay. All right, Tahira. So as I understand it, Professor Porterfield predicted some things. Some of it came true, but not in the way he explained it would. Well, you've run into one of the most interesting situations regarding readings. We read, to the best of our ability, often as through a glass darkly. If you go to a woman reader, and she may be married, and she sees everything kind of in terms of marriages. Or you might go to a woman reader and she has no marriage, never been married, but she really is concerned about business and jobs, and she thinks you ought to be too. And every reader brings their own experience in life. Those who are parents bring parental. Those who are grandparents bring grandparenty wisdom with them. And so when we read for people, we tend to see things as we know them. It's very hard to imagine something we've never lived. And this is a part of reading that people get used to. And it often can mean that you should get a reader who is copacetic with your life. In other words, if you were, for instance, a young woman wanting to know about love, you might want to go to someone who had experienced love. She might be a better reader for you than someone who had never experienced love. So not to say that every reader is good or bad or can be judged by the accuracy, but also the way they interpret what they see is definitely going to be based on the life they've lived. It's a very serious part of reading and why reading is an art and not a science. All right. Having said that, you want to know what the upcoming future holds for you and in your romantic and social life is you're no longer attending school. All right. So you want to know whether there's going to be some romance and stuff, because school is always a good place, of course, to get a romance, as you know. So card number one I have here is the Queen of Swords. And this is a card of a woman who is sometimes alone. It's not a card that many people crave to be. Some people are very happy with it. But it's a card of a woman who sits on a throne holding a sword with one bird overhead. So this is a card of the recent past, and it can mean some limitation in your social life because of being a bit isolated. But the Queen of Swords is a very intelligent woman, a woman of great perception, compassion, and knowledge, a lot of thought in her. And I would say that this is a card that says there may be a little pause here in social life. She beckons with her left hand, come to me, but she holds a sword. And that indicates that it may be that you are not, you know, going out to meet people as much and hoping someone will come to you, not going to work as well. The second card is another swords card, another court card, and it is the Princess or Page of Swords. And this shows a younger woman running out, holding a sword, into a field, and she has run a distance, and we look at her, and we realize she has no scabbard to put her sword up. In other words, she's prepared to just go out and do what she has to do, but she's not necessarily completely prepared. She runs out. She hears a sound, maybe. She sees something out the corner of her eye. Overhead, there's a flock of birds, and they're also kind of looking. And they turn, like all when one bird turns, all the birds turn. And behind her, the clouds are turning too. They're going forward, and then they turn backwards. And she turns her head back, and she's kind of second-guessing. And she spins kind of, we just catch her in mid-spin, and she looks behind her like, what was that? So this says that some of your adventures into the world at the present time, because that was first card was the past, this is the present, some of your adventures romantically and socially will not bear fruit immediately, because you may get into a situation that causes you to turn back for whatever reason. It's not a great card for romance. This is not to say I'm dooming you. I'm just seeing what I see. The third card is a great card, a very happy card. So it's a good outcome to these two rather, we could call dull and lifeless cards that don't show a lot of romance. But the future card is a card that tells me that you will have a much better social life and a much better romantic life in the upcoming future than you do right now. And this card is called the Four of Wands, and it shows a party. And it could even be a wedding party. It could be a religious festival of some sort. It's ambiguous and ambiguously drawn on purpose. It's the Four of Wands. There are four big staffs in the ground. There are fruits and flowers and stuff forming a canopy. There are people approaching the canopy with festive fruit and leaves in their hands, and behind them a party of people. There are flowers decorating the bridge by a castle. It's quite beautiful, and it is a card with a yellow sky. The first two, the Queen and the Page of Swords, had blue skies. Yellow skies in my card deck mean action, activity, and so this says you must do something, and it tells me that this time next year, actually even a little earlier, this is a card of summer, late summer, when the last fruit are on the trees, but it actually starts when the first fruit are on the trees, cherries, May 31st or so, and it ends in, you know, 1st of September around Labor Day. That's when you will find a tremendous amount of love. It's going to be a little while. Your social life will be much improved as winter turns to spring, and you will have a lot of friends and love. Unfortunately, this is not a card of a romantic heart love. It could be two people getting married. Some people see it that way. But it may be a card of being in among other people. That's how I see it. So I'm going to turn this over to Susan and see what she has to say.
Hi, what is your first name again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Tahira.
It's Tahira.
Tahira. Oh,
Tahira.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Cancer.
A Cancer. Oh, lovely. I love Cancers. First card I got was the Four of Pentacles. So we have another four that came in. Miss Cat, I believe, got
mm-hmm.
a four. And
mm-hmm.
this is another four. So what this means, it means different things, of course, but it says that you're coming from a firm foundation. You've had good judgment in matters of business and your talents. You may not have had as good a judgment in picking romantic partners, but it says that, you know, this card can also come up when you're being a little too tight. And what I'm picking up is that it's you're being too tight with yourself, with your energy, with talking to other people, with socializing. You're kind of you're not putting yourself out there. And normally I use this as a money card, but in your case, I feel it's more of a lack of social ability card, or putting yourself out there. And Cancers are very beautiful people. They're very loving people. And mothering people. So I think the more that you go out, wherever you go, people are just going to feel your vibes and just adore you because you're an adorable person. The next card I got was the Emperor, which is a very interesting card. I don't know if this may be a father card. It's a strong, aggressive kind of usually a masculine card. Again, it represents the spring, like Miss Kat said. It can be aggressive, and it can usually represent the spring. So it can be a man in authority. So I'm not sure if this is your father or a father figure. So it can be somebody who achieved a lot of things through determination. He wants you to follow the rules. He wants you to play the game. And being a Cancer, Cancers don't like to follow the rules.
they really like to be in love and they like to be loved. It's also telling me that you are going to be successful anyway. So it doesn't matter, and he's going to be happy, whoever this man is. The next card I got was the Justice card, which is interesting. So this also tells me that you need to perhaps do some self-investigation. Like, for example, like what have I been going through? What am I putting out into the world? What can I do to make myself more fascinating? Do I need to read more books? Do I need to take more classes? And I would suggest taking a night class, you know, even if it's not at school or something. The Justice card, you know, it's somebody who is weighing a decision. So you're at the precipice of, well, should I do this? Should I go back to school? Should I go to work? You may even become in contact with an attorney at some point, and maybe that's the person that you're going to meet. But my thing is to tell you to do some more self-reflection. I also got the Magician card, meaning that I'd like for you to get some root work done from a magical person. So look for somebody. At night, take a sip of water, and each night take a little sip and say, I am prosperous, I am healthy, I am loved, and whatever else you can think of, and just take a little tiny sip, okay, honey? And you're going to be fine. This is just a very typical of a you know, young person's cards, but they're also very good cards, sweetheart, and I truly think you're going to do fantastic. I really do. Thank you so much for letting me read for you.
Okay. All right, Tahira. So we have some interesting things going on here in terms of the readings, and now we're going to go to Countryman Ali. So he's going to give you some root work. He may be that Magician card, but you also may seek out a personal root worker if you wish. Once you get the Magician card, we always say do your own root work or get root work done, because that's that card. But let's see what Ali has to say for the quick resolution and improvement of your romantic and social life.
Thanks, Kat. I've been listening very closely, and I think you've read some fantastic readings. I'm going to give you a root work based off of what Spirit has presented to me from the root works. What I want you to do is I'm going to have you do some bathing work to draw in your ideal lover. This goes really well with the sign that you are, as well as with what both Ms. Kat and Susan Barnes had seen. But before you do that, I want you to make some homemade ink. You can do this with pomegranate juice. I want you to make it out of pomegranate or berries. This should be something that you make fresh, not that you buy from the store. So don't go buy pomegranate juice. Actually get pomegranate, seed them, squeeze them out, get the ink. You add a little bit of, you can add just a little bit of salt to that to thicken it. You pray over that salt. You can also, some people add vinegar, but you want to create a homemade ink out of this pomegranate. You're going to take that and set it aside because you're going to need it in a little bit. You're going to brew yourself a tea out of violet leaves, rose petals. You're going to add a little bit of lovage root. Lovage root is really good to get the passion going. Put in some cubeb berries as well. That's to find a willing lover. When you've got that and brewed it into a tea, set it aside to cool. Get yourself a fresh plate, a white plate that you have purchased. You are going to use the pomegranate juice, the ink that you have created, to write on that plate. And you are going to write your intention and your prayer, what you are looking for in a lover. You are going to write, he's going to look a certain way, or he's going to have a certain job, he's going to be financially well off, etc. You will write the characteristics that you're looking for. Or if you don't have characteristics specifically, write directly from your heart a prayer to God, asking for your perfect lover that is meant for you to come to you. You're going to write it onto the plate. You're going to draw yourself a bath. Pour in the tea that you have made, and then wash the ink out into the bath. You're going to take the plate. You're going to put it in the water so that your petition is dissolved into the water itself. You are going to bathe in this water, letting yourself soak into it. Get out, air dry, and gather some of the used bath water. You're going to take a whole bowl full or whatever. You're going to take this to the nearest crossroads, and you're going to pour a little bit of it out, and you're going to say, wherever you are, my perfect lover, come to me from the four corners of the world, wherever you are, come to me. You're not going to pour this over your left shoulder, or you're going to pour it out like a libation at the crossroads. Only half of it. You're going to come back home and sprinkle the rest of it at the four corners of your home and your doorstep. You're going to sprinkle it and say, come to me, right to my doorstep, right to me, wherever you are. And that's what I would recommend for you. This is a good working. It's a strong way of working with water and prayers to draw the perfect person to you. That would be my recommendation. Let's see if Ms. Pat or Susan Barnes have anything further to add to it or any kind of adjustments to make.
Wow. That's amazing, and that's a beautiful, beautiful spell. I particularly like your very good note. This is not to be thrown over your left shoulder. This is to be poured as a libation. That is so true. And the only thing that I've sometimes heard done a little bit different, but again, this is just different people, is as you come back from such a pouring out a libation, you can, if you have it in an open bowl, dip your fingers, and what I was told was sprinkle at every street corner as you go by.
Mm,
you
know,
so that
you're
really, you're marking a little path, dip, 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 until you get back to your house. That's another. That's the only thing I would add to that, because it's just a perfect form of work, really.
I think it's an excellent work, and I would say please follow his directions, because you know you're talking to an extremely powerful person who knows what he's doing, and I have followed his directions to the T, and they work. Now, cancer, never underestimate a cancer, and you know this. So pull that strength out. We know a lot of cancerians. Meryl Streep was a cancer. She's one of the most successful actresses in the world. Pull that strength out. Do what Conjurman Ali and Miss Kat said, and you're going to be on the right path.
It's kind of hard because I'm in Las Vegas right now, and it's just my life is crappy, and I just can't go to school here. I can't live here. I just need to get out.
Well, what we're seeing is that this is going to take a little time. You're going to have to move, basically. And there may be a false start before you do move. That's what we saw. And it's interesting, as a Cancer being in Las Vegas, not a very good environment for Cancers. They tend to be water signs. And Cancers do better where there is free-flowing water, not necessarily the ocean or a big lake, but it's part of the Cancer nature to seek water and moisture, and I would recommend that to you. I have nothing against Las Vegas. There's plenty of people who love the hell out of it, but I can see where that might not be the best environment for you. Now, one other thing that I would just say to you is call us back again, and you know, if things change when you move or something, we'd be glad to read for you again, because you know, you have a little process ahead of you here. Okay, there's a little bit ahead of you. Okay? And it's not going to cure overnight, but it doesn't show any curses. It just shows that you've come to a little stalling moment here. All right. Well, thank you, Susan, for that reading. Thank you, Ali, for that fantastic root work. And we're going to take a little brief intermission, and when we come back from that, we're going to be doing another reading. So stay tuned to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour.
for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandreworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from 917 in New York. This week, how are you there?
Hi, I am right here. Thank you.
And did I pronounce your name correctly, hon?
It's Mika.
Mika. Oh, okay. Thank you so much. And I see that you're a returning guest, but you're not calling in on an update. Different situation, correct?
Yes.
All right. And no other readers are conjuring only readings with them. Perfect. All right. And she writes, in the past, I have had people do crossing work on me, and as a result, in my life has been crossed up in all aspects, has been always really hard. I had crossing work done a few years ago, but I just need to know, with the way things have been going for me, that no one is trying to cross my life up again.
All right. Now, that's pretty short and sweet and to the point.
Yes.
So that's good. So, Nika, is there – I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. Is there you say with the way things are going, you just want to make sure that – think you've hit a rough patch, basically, and you wondered if if either the crossing has come back or if it's a new crossed-up situation. Is that what we're looking to?
Yeah, basically.
All righty. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Leo.
Leo. And and about how old are you?
I'm 29.
29. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, okay. I get that. Have you ever heard of something called a Saturn return?
No.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to let Conjure Manali talk about that. But that may be what you felt, and you may be actually at the other end of it. Just, you know, I'm not reading your cards. I'm just saying it's an astrological life stage that happens between 27 and 29, and you basically get put through the ringer. you may be on the far side of that one, which is good. So I'm going to turn this over to Ali and see what he has to say.
Okay.
Thanks, Kat. I think you're astute as always, and that's really picking up, that's really reflecting in the reading that I have here. So the first card that we have is the Five of Swords. This shows the past. We see a man or an individual laughing quite mischievously and cruelly, and he has disarmed two individuals who are off near the water, mourning, crying, and recovering. There are five swords present, two that he's holding across his shoulder, one on the one pointed to the ground, and two more cast down in frustration. So yeah, you were crossed. You had enemies, and you had enemies that really hit you hard. As a result of that, you had to spend a lot of time recovering, and it wasn't just a physical recovery. It was also a deeply emotional recovery. You had to just to a certain extent, cry it out. It was a very hard moment for you in your life, and it was not a short period of time, but a bit of a prolonged period is what I'm sensing here. But as a result of that crossing, you've also been left a bit vulnerable now. You are disarmed to a certain extent, just like the figure in this card is disarmed. You don't have, you haven't hardened from it to a certain extent. Rather, you've been left more vulnerable, more exposed. So what you're experiencing now is not a case of you being crossed again, but a case of what I would call bad weather. And we see that in the next card, which is the Five of Pentacles. Here are two individuals down on their luck. One of them is literally in crutches following the other. They're out in the cold and the dark and the snow. What they don't realize is that right behind them is the glow of a cathedral. So this is telling us that what's going on in your life is more climate, not someone actively striking you down or attacking you again. While you may have some envious people. You may even have a little bit of evil eye. This is more to do with the weather. The difficulties that people go through in life, as Kat has very astutely pointed out, the Saturn return is a period of time where, you know, kind of old things come back to haunt. Restrictions come in one's life and keep you from progressing. And it comes to about, you know, 27, and sometimes goes all the way to 30. Some people say 29. And it is a difficult period of time. That it's about learning how to deal with things like debt, the past, coming to terms with restrictions and stagnation. And there is help for that. There are things you can do to cope and manage that. But you also need to acknowledge what happened in the past and become stronger from it rather than allow yourself to be vulnerable. The Five of Pentacles says that there is help available. Turn to spiritual succor. Turn to people who can assist you. And the final card that we have is the Four of Wands. Just as the Five of Pentacles shows us winter, the Four of Wands shows us spring. Winter does give way eventually, the seasons change, and spring will come. It is a card of once more being on the top of your life, finding happiness, finding the people that will walk by your side, finding strength, finding abundance, and finding hope. So this is seasonal. It will pass. There is a lesson in it for you to learn, things that you need to confront and deal with, and spiritual aid is available to you to help deal with those things. That's what I see in this case. I'm going to turn this over. I believe Susan Barnes is doing the next reading, and we're going to have Kat give you some root work recommendations at the end.
Okay. Before Susan picks it up, we're having some little bit of tin can problems with the sound, and I don't know whether it's the caller or you. Mm-hmm. What was the third card you had?
A Four of Wands.
Four of Wands. Oh, that's the same card I had for that other lady.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay. That is, wow, okay, because I thought, did he say the same thing? Yeah, that happens sometimes. This is the Four of Wands show. Okay. I give these shows names. Okay. So Susan, take it away.
Well, this is just a continuation of what Conjurman Ali just told you. It's really interesting. The card I got is from the past. It's the Hermit. It means, and for Leo, this is not a good situation to be withdrawing socially or to be thinking people are throwing at you. And, you know, it also shows that you have the wisdom, and I know you do. I can just tell by talking to you. You've got the wisdom and the insight. You've also got a lot of spiritual knowledge and power. I think because of your age, your youth, that you haven't quite gotten the confidence yet, but you will have it probably in 3 months. Leos usually pick it up pretty quickly. There has been some excessive solitude, maybe some withdrawal from, and I think it's good because you picked up some toxic people along the way, and Leos tend to do that. You know, we like everybody.
Yes.
Come on in, let's have a party. And we're super loyal. We love people. And guess what? They don't love us back, or they stab us in the back. And it's like, whoa, how did that happen? I don't really understand. I thought this person was my friend, and they turned out to be a complete backstabber. Is that what you've been going through? Because that's what I'm getting. And so you were kind of like holed up in a little closet thinking, geez, how can this happen? I gave this person so much of my time, my love, my energy, food, whatever. I feel like you're a good cook, too. I don't know if you've gotten into
I am yet. Very good, yes.
Okay, so I'll go along with that and say to continue with that cooking, because you're also a good writer. And write your journal. I don't know if you write a dream journal, but write in your journal. Yes, go ahead.
You
go
picked
ahead.
Up on the dream. I actually am a person. I dream. How would you say? I dream true. I dream things and they actually happen, but a lot of the times I don't write it down. So it's good that you suggested that.
Okay, well, this is telling me to write your dreams down, because Miss Cat is the same way. Miss Cat is a person who dreams true, and I find this to be pretty rare. Most people who dream true are a rarity, and it's a very special talent. So I do feel like get that dream journal. I don't care if you got to go to the local, you know, store in the corner, but get you know, those things that kids have, those spiral notebooks or something. But being a Leo, you're going to have something really pretty. So let's get a pretty journal for you, or put some little stickers on it, or, and gold coins and stuff, stars, something. Make it pretty, and write it down every morning. I don't care how weird the dream was or whatever. Just write down, because then a month you'll be like, oh my gosh, this came true. So the present card I got was a Six of Swords, and again, we're traveling over water, and I think Ali came up with that too. But it means that you're troubled right now, and this goes along with what Miss Cat and Ali have been saying about, you know, the Saturn. I'm not an astrologer, but that kind of situation going on. And I do know from experience that 29 can be a tough age. And you will get through it, but be cautious as you are. You might be a little too cautious, and just go ahead and do all your protection stuff, which you already know what to do. I know you do. Just get that ankle bracelet, get your oils, and get all your stuff, get your sachets. You know, I don't know why I'm even talking to you, because you should be telling me what to do. That's how I feel.
I mean, I do read a lot, you know. So, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, am I talking to a reader or what, you know? Okay, so the Seven of Pentacles. I like this card. Some people don't, but I kind of dig it. It's a card of money, but it's a card that people don't, oh, you've got money. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have more money, or you will have more money than people will know. Now, being a Leo, I would, like, kind of keep a lid on it, because, you know, Leos tend to, like, oh, I got this and that, and they might not say anything, but, and they're wearing stuff from Target, but they've got Louis Vuitton shoes on, you know what I mean? So just be quiet, because you are going to come into money. You are going to reap what you sow throughout these years. You're on the right path, I feel like. You put time and put more effort into it, and you're going to have a successful harvest. Good work satisfaction are guaranteed. And you're going to be looking over your harvest. Also, something that just came up, don't tell any men that you meet that you're starting to make money. That just came to me. So be close. I don't know what my grandfather, Jerry, do you know that saying? Keep your cards close. Okay, he said, my assistant here, Jerry Gold, said, keep your cards close to your chest, so let them keep those lips dipped when it comes to money, okay?
Okay.
And I think you're going to do fine. I can't believe you're only 29 years old. You have an old soul. You're a beautiful person. I wish I could just reach out there and hug you or something, right? Anyway, it's been a wonderful reading for you. I think you're a fantastic person, and you're going to do fabulous. You're going to read for me someday,
so
I think.
You know, I can't actually read the cards, but, you know, it's something that I have interest in. You know, I read a lot from the Lucky Mojo forums, archives, and I read a lot, but I just, you know, I've never really gone, like, in depth to say, like, okay, I'm going to try a spell, or I'm going to, you know. So I have a lot of knowledge, but it's something that I've never taken up, you know.
Well, what Miss Susan Barnes says is that you are. She doesn't talk this way just to flatter people up, honey. She's not just buttering you up one side and down the other. When she sees that, she's saying something that is part of the reading.
Okay.
Is that you are gifted beyond what our normal clients are here on the radio show.
Okay.
Whether it's going to be to read cards, or whether it's going to be to dream true, or whether it's going to be a clairvoyant or spirit medium, she also read you not for the question you had. She also read you that you are gifted way beyond the norm as to being a root worker or reader. So just take that for what it is, because she knows her stuff. And when we meet people like that, we sometimes have to stop the reading about what they're asking for and say, oh, hey, you know, this isn't about your love life. This isn't about your job. Did you know that you're a gifted reader? But
wow,
but what your great. What your métier may be, what form you may you choose to use, or if you even never choose to use this professionally, she's saying that there is something that you can do that would at least be to help yourself, but you may end up helping others too.
Okay.
All right. That's an important thing to think about, because people think also often, I just want to know if I was going to get a boyfriend, and all of a sudden they're telling me that I'm a gifted reader.
That's just
when spirit speaks, spirit speaks, and that's what she gave you. So that was a valuable signpost, which you may or may not take. All right.
Thank you.
I'm gonna do three cards as well.
Okay.
And the first card I have is a card called the Ace of Wands. This is a card of your basic strength and power, and it also says that God basically favors you. So the Ace of Wands shows a little pretty landscape out in the countryside with a little kind of medieval castle way in the distance, a little stream of water, some trees, very pretty. And a cloud is in the sky. I don't know where there's this cloud, and a hand comes out of the cloud, but it's giant. It's God's hand. And God's hand is holding a club or stick, and it is bursting into leaf like springtime. And it means renewal. It also means your spine. It also means your bones in general. It also means your courage. And it says here that God gives you, some people identify this with in the Bible, the rod of Aaron. And so this gives you that kind of strength. And Aaron, by the way, was a magician too, so that's not too far from where we started. But this tells me that, yes, things have been going a little south lately, but it just says have courage. This is a testing. This is something for you to show your strength. And keep your strength, keep your faith, keep your belief, and be, gather yourself within, stand up on your hind legs, and God will favor you. And this is a very good card. It also, whenever I get this card, I tell people, make sure that you are getting enough physical exercise, because your body is going to be yours all your life, and you got to take good care of that as long as you can.
Okay.
So a good card, and not a card of any kind of curse or sorrow or anything like that. The next card is a card that goes to the idea of something that Susan said as well. This is a card called the Seven of Swords. And the Seven of Swords is a card of the liar and the thief. You have let some people into your life who were backbiters, backstabbers. We could just say
you
let somebody in there. This is a person who just walks off stealing five out of the seven swords that someone has left. And they're sneaking on their little tippy toes and kind of looking around suspiciously. And so that is something that I would say has to be dealt with. As far as this
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I can make a comment. Like, can I make a comment about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I used to have these best friends. They live all the way in Boston, and within the past three or so months, we were friends for like about 5 years, and within the past three or so months, some things happened, and I just came to the realization that these people have not really been, my true friends, and all of a sudden I turned so cold towards them, because when I'm a friend, I'm loyal, I'm really loyal, and I do what I can, and it was not being reciprocated. So it's, it's funny that I've been told that within this reading twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my feeling here is that it's not so much something that happened to you, but just some you're going to be able to get through this okay.
Okay.
And I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about you. The next card I have, just to finish this thing out, is a card that is called the Page of Cups. And this is a adventurous young woman or a person down by the water holding a golden goblet, and the goblet has a fish in it. And this fish says that you are gifted and that you will be able to be a reader. This is definitely a card that says you will be a reader. All right. So with that all said, let's just turn this over to Papa Newt, and we will go on.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Kendala's Corner, starring Kendala Kambisa and Michael Correll, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Take it away, Miss Susan.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. This is a charm for protection. You can find it in Catherine Ironwood's book called Paper and My Shoe. It is on page 85. It's protection from evil. This protection charm utilizes the verses of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 20. One of my favorites. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Write or photocopy the text from your Bible or find it online and print it. Surround the text with the phrase, protect me, protect me, protect me, handwritten all around it as a square border. Pray over the petition, then apply a 5-foot wall of protection all on it. In the center of the protection of the petition, place a small personal concern like a nail clipping or a hair of yourself or the person you're making the charm for. As a new addition, I've said that you can add a sprinkle of graveyard dirt from someone known to be a protector in life, someone who loved and protected you, or somebody who's known for keeping people from harm. Smoke the petition with fiery wall of protection incense. Fold and turn the petition toward you at least 4 times. Make a small packet. Smoke the shoe of your dominant foot or your client's dominant foot with fiery wall of protection incense. Place the petition inside the shoe in the insole. And once folded, it is fairly small, and it should fit into the toe of the shoe. And you can walk through any kind of mess with this. You can go into graveyards and that kind of thing. You can also exchange fiery wall of protection, for protection oil or any other kind of protection oil that you like from the Lucky Mojo. And that's my spell. Thank you.
Well, that's a wonderful spell. I have taught that to other people, and it is in the book, Paper in My Shoe. So if you need to find it there, this is one thing we were talking about, and in the chat room it was asked, could you use Fear Not to Walk Over Evil? And in a graveyard, this would be a very good way to use that Fear Not to Walk Over Evil,
mm-hmm.
as well as fiery wall protection or just straight up protection. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So those are all different, really good ways to work with this, and I really love them. Do you have any thing to add to this one, Ali?
I don't. I think it's a fantastic. Working. I just want to kind of emphasize that not all of us do protective work when we go into the graveyard as the kind of topic of the show, but it is a very important discussion to have because it shows the beautiful variety and diversity that is hoodoo. And guess what? All of it is authentic. If you do protection work, that's hoodoo. If you don't do protection work, that's hoodoo. If you pay the gatekeeper,
mm-hmm.
that's hoodoo. And if you don't pay the gatekeeper, that's also hoodoo.
Right. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. What I tell people, there's about 17 ways to make chocolate chips cookies, and every one of them tastes pretty darn good. But, you know, in using people always come to the Psalms, and they always say, oh, well, we're going to use the Psalms, you know. Mm-hmm. And that is true. The Psalms have a long history in Jewish magic. And because of that long history, they entered hoodoo sort of fully formed in books like Secrets of the Psalms and so forth. Mm-hmm. But the other books of the Bible also really have a meaning too. Now, I'm going to actually, in the chat room, because I typeset the manuscript of that book, Paper in My Shoe, I'm actually going to copy out the quotes from you that I did use, sort of an mm-hmm. abbreviated version of what you just said. In other words, it's a little tip of the iceberg of what's in that book, Paper in My Shoe, and I'm putting it in the mm-hmm. chat room. So all y'all who are listening to the show in the far-flung future, you do want to go to the Lucky Mojo forum, because the entire spell, in as Susan taught it to me, is going to be in the chat room. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Susan, you are known for some of your Bible magic. I mean, you've done good Bible magic, and I really admire your teaching ability too. This is so clearly an old traditional form of working, and I really like the way that you keep grounded and centered in the work as we know it. All right, I have finished posting it in the chat room.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. And but if you like what you see there, that's just one page, and it's only half a page out of that book, Paper in My Shoe, which has turned out, although I thought it would be a book that would never sell, I thought it would sell 100 copies. That's turned out mm-hmm. to be one of my best-selling books ever. And I have thank my colleagues like you and others who have contributed to that book, because my books mm-hmm. always contain the work of others, my elders, my predeceased or predecessor root workers, and my living and friends and colleagues. So thank you very much for that spell. So now, what we have here is something of the kind of work that you can do yourself. You don't need to go to a root worker to use the Bible. And I'm going to ask Papa Newt and Miss Tammy Lee or whoever it may be to please also post the link to Hoodoo Bible Magic in the chat room, and also mm-hmm. possibly to the Book of Psalms, which is online at the AIR page, readersandrootworkers.org, has a whole free set of the Psalms, and it tells which Psalms are good for which purposes, since we've gone a little bit in that direction. Also, mm-hmm. at hoodoopsychics.com, there are a number of posts of lists of Psalms and other Bible verses and what they are used for. So that's another way to get this information as it spreads throughout the community and throughout the world. Okay, well, there's our end music coming on up, and so I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ollie, and thank you, Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for being our guest this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Phoenix of PhoenixLaFay.com in Sebastopol, California, discussing keeping your family safe and successful. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat online at Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And I just want to give a little shout-out before we go to the folks in the chat room. It's so nice to see Miss Tammy Lee. And that is someone I have not seen in our chat room for a long time, our former announcer on this show. And
hi, Miss Tammy Lee.
lots of good folks here in the chat room, and it's just so nice to see them. And there's Miss Tammy Lee posting her triple hearts like she always used to do. That's so sweet. So before we go, I just want to make a real quick announcement. We do have an apprenticeship coming up, and that will be from September 19th to the 23rd. It's a free apprenticeship for graduates of my Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence course. On September 18th, we have a train running. The Bay Area Garden Railway Society and the Redwood Empire Garden Railway Society coming to get together, and we're going to have an open house. So if you all come by on the 18th, you can see the trains run and poor little Jenna run around picking leaves off the layout. And you can shop at the shop. We'll be open all day, of course. And so that is it for me. And thank you so much, Susan. And have a nice
one.
Good night.
Thank you, Conjurer Man Ollie.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.